Good morning and coffee cheers to you. I'm Melissa Wall, your host of Coffee Cheers, and welcome to episode 3 in season 2 with Tricia Clark. This girl boss and very good friend is filled with a sense of believing anything is possible and has created a culture for others to believe the same. Listen along as you hear how she believes anyone who sits in her makeup chair is a friend she just maybe hasn't met yet, and allows them to not only feel beautiful on the outside, which after Tricia magic, they look stunning, but also beautiful on the inside, as she asks questions and allows them to share their heart with her. Tricia took a leap of faith to live out her passion, and she's thriving not only as a makeup artist, but a speaker and a partnership with a brilliant clothing company, Ever Eve. Listen to how she has a close connection to Ireland, in her If You Knew Me game, and has been encouraged in mentorship to live out best version of herself. So pour a cup of coffee and listen along. You are going to love it. Coffee cheers. Well, coffee cheers to
coffee
you.
Coffee cheers.
We're actually going to have the clink on the,
Woohoo. The
podcast. This is a face-to-face, which I'm so thankful for. A lot of them are over the phone or over
such
an ocean.
A treat.
So I know. So thank you for having me in your home.
You're welcome.
I love that story about your mom and just hearing it. So she was stay-at-home mom.
So she got, she was a junior high PE teacher, and
okay.
Then she and my dad were high school sweethearts. They got married right after college, had me right away, and then 3 more children shortly thereafter. And so she had always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, and she was wonderful at it. And when I speak with women's groups now, I say I had a very positive role model of stay-at-home motherhood, which is what made me want to do it, because we never felt like she was resenting being home with us, or that she had put her life on hold.
Right.
So that was a gift that we got as kids, was feeling like our mom was happy to be home with us.
Yeah.
But she also had other parts to her personality, as everyone does. And one of the ways we got to see her live that out was she was in an a cappella quartet.
Okay.
And they would perform, they performed at the White House. They
Get
to go see them downtown at the Drake at Christmas time. And I would just,
that's so amazing.
It was so amazing to be like so proud of your mom, who was so beautiful and sang so well, and like people knew that's what she did, and and then we did have our like Sound of Music moments where she would dress up us 4 children and take us around to perform at various things.
My word.
And when my brother got to high school,
amazing.
He said, I retire. I'm done. I'm not wearing matching outfits and singing anymore.
I am out.
So that ended that, but yeah.
Oh my goodness. So like growing up, were you like the little girl like in the bathroom, like watching your mom put on makeup and stuff like that? And did that start your passion for
yes.
it?
Yes. So she had her little box of like Amway makeup, and then it became Mary Kay makeup. And I got a Caboodles as soon as Caboodles came out, which are like tackle boxes of makeup.
Okay, my friend just got another one recently.
They have
like,
them
they're
now,
coming back.
But they're not as high quality, I have to say, as the originals from the early 90s. I wish I still had the original one because it was great.
Yeah.
So she had her stuff, and then she always called me her product princess because I loved, it wasn't about amassing stuff. It was about like, I want to know what the best is, or what, you know, like what the best hairspray is and the shower gel that smells the nicest. So I just always was trying new things, and that's what I would want for Christmas, was like perfume and makeup.
That's right.
Like before I could pronounce Versace, I wanted Versace red jeans perfume.
Oh,
and it was like
word.
15 years before I realized it was Versace and that was a designer. So yeah, just
that
have always
awesome.
Been obsessed with the products and the stuff.
Wow. And so then when did you, I mean, I know where you are now. So
yeah.
For listeners now, where are you right now? Like, what would you say you do? And then we're going to work backwards on your story, if that
okay,
makes sense.
Okay, that makes total sense. So right now I am a bridal makeup artist. Mm-hmm. I specialize in what I call naturally radiant bridal makeup, and I take care of brides in the Chicago area, and I will travel up to Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, and Milwaukee, and I love being a part of a bride's wedding day and coming up, collaborating with her to come up with a makeup look that I say you need to look beautiful in person. Your fiance has to think you look beautiful. You want your father to recognize you, and you have to feel amazing, but it also has to photograph well. And that's, you have to have both, or to me, it's not good wedding makeup. So that is that is my main, like what takes up the most of my work time. Mm-hmm. And I do that every weekend. And then I also speak to women's groups, and it's just a kind of a cool two-prong business to be in, because since I get to meet so many women through weddings and talk to brides and their moms and their families, I learn like what women want to know about makeup, because almost everybody sits in my chair on a wedding morning and says like, okay, so tell me your favorite concealer. And so I can take what I know people want to know and try and turn that into Instagram posts and blog posts and things like that, and share what, like, the information that people actually want.
Right. Absolutely. And you do such a good job at that.
Thanks.
I feel like I love your, like, videos and the how-tos and stuff like that. And when, also will come out with their, like, the calendar. What is that called?
Oh, or like their, like, their monthly mailing.
Yeah. And you're like, let's go through it. Like, what's going to be really good, or what should you try? Things like that. It's always so helpful.
Well, thanks. Well, what's changed in like even just the 10 years that I can say I've been a makeup artist is that there are so many options. Yeah. There's more makeup and skincare and fragrance available than ever before. And so many people telling you I'm an expert and let me, you know, let me tell you what you need to buy. But a lot of it's like marketing and selling. And so I just want to be honest and say, this is what works for me, or this is what I actually recommend to my own mom and what works for her. And just try and be an honest voice in an overwhelming sea of voices.
Oh my goodness. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So you have a wedding every single weekend, basically?
Pretty much. if I have a weekend off, it's because I was off this past Saturday, but I had two weddings the weekend before that. It's wonderful.
Wow.
It is wonderful.
That's so fun. And I've seen you in action, because I officiated at a wedding that you were doing the makeup for, and so it was so fun to just see you. And I think you really do an amazing job at not just, hey, I'm going to put makeup on your face today, but I'm going to care for you and be able to help you feel beautiful and like be able to walk down the aisle feeling confident and great.
Thank you.
And so I just think you do a really good job about that. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's a unique opportunity, right, when someone sits down in your chair, that you're getting to just say, hey, I want you to walk out of here feeling really beautiful, but not just what I am helping you do with your makeup, but like, let's talk through everything. And you just did an amazing job on that day of just asking questions, and just, I don't know, I felt like everyone walked out of there just radiant from the inside out.
Thank you. Well, it's, they're trusting me when they sit in the chair, and I have done it now for so long that I have to remind myself, like, someone sits in their chair, in my chair, and closes their eyes and trusts that I'm gonna take care of them. And I think because I saw what makeup did for my mom when I was little, it was it was a tool that she used. And then when I teach lessons to people, and I give them the knowledge to be able to use makeup as a tool, it's not going to fix you if you don't, you know, if you have inner work you need to do, but it can be a step in the right direction. And then on your wedding day, you want to trust that I'm going to listen to you. And so I'm glad that that comes across. And I think, you know, sometimes I joke, like, I'm not the best artist that there is in terms of makeup, and someone can probably do like a cooler eyeshadow look or something, but I try to be a good listener and give the whole experience. So I'm so glad that I came across that day.
Absolutely. Which I think is such a lost art, listening, you know? I mean, I think especially we're so task oriented, and I think especially being a makeup artist, it could just be like, hey, I've got a task to do here. Like, all right, next bridesmaid, you know, over. Yeah. And so I think that's a real selling point of who you are. Absolutely. Yeah. So on Copy Cheers, even in this second season, we're doing our If You Knew Me, Then You'd Know game.
Okay.
So round one, I think it's going to work out perfect. We talked a little bit about these beforehand, about just your early mornings in your makeup. So round one, If You Knew Me, Then You'd Know, Trisha.
All right. If you knew me, then you'd know that I am addicted to Starbucks, and I make no apologies for my frequent consumption of iced lattes. If I have to be out the door before 5 a.m. and working by 6 a.m., then I don't feel shame about getting a fancy iced coffee. And it also, the addiction really started when I was a stay-at-home mom 6.5 years ago, and it was like, all right, this is my life now. I am functioning on way less sleep. Yeah. What's a way that I can do that with a smile on my face? Coffee. And so, so if you knew me, then you'd know that I am addicted to iced lattes, and I don't feel bad about it.
That's a good thing. That's so good. Oh my goodness. So when you, so like, what's like a regular weekend for you when you're going to do makeup for people? Is it, I mean, you are out the door by 4, or just really depends on where it's at?
I would say it depends on where it's at, but I I'm also, I think the brides who have hired me know that I am down in their lobby an hour before I need to be up in their room, because I am not going to take any chances on being late on someone's wedding day. So, especially for Friday weddings, if I have to be in downtown Chicago before traffic, am on the road by 5:45 and I get my coffee, and so I will get to the hotel early and I will answer emails and do like a social media post. I started a hashtag, another lobby, another latte, and I show whatever shoes I'm wearing that day and whatever my coffee drink is and whatever hotel I'm in. And then a wedding can, my time with a bride in the morning depends on how many bridesmaids and family members she has. So sometimes it's 3 hours and sometimes it's 6 hours, and I get the day started with them. And then I often, this is unusual, but I will go and do a bridal trial for another bride in the afternoon, because once I'm out and working for the day, I'm dressed, I have makeup on, my child is cared for, and I would just prefer to stay working and do a trial as opposed to trying to line up doing a trial on like a Tuesday or something like that, because I strictly work on location and go to my clients. I don't have them come to a studio. So most of the time on Saturdays, I leave the house around 6 a.m. and I'm back home around 6 p.m. And I'm my feet are tired, but I'm so happy. I just sit in my car and usually take a moment, because I leave in the dark, but I come home in the light, and I just am so grateful, because it's wonderful what I do now, but it's been a long road to get to here, and I don't ever want to take it for granted that I just got to go do my dream job.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was one of the questions I had of, when did you decide, I mean, obviously this has been a passion for you since you were very young. I mean, like, just like picture you, like, you know, watching your mom
with
get ready and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
But what was it that you were like, okay, I'm going to take the leap and I'm going to just start to try to do this dream job? And you're very successful now, but it took, I know, a lot of work and a lot of hustle. So what was maybe like, maybe there's a listener that's like, you know what, I'm ready to take the leap, or there's something that I have a passion about and I'd like to try something. Like, what was it that helped you take that leap? And then what was the hustle like?
Like turning points.
I
didn't think that doing makeup was an option for someone in the Midwest as a career. I didn't want to move to Los Angeles and try and do Hollywood special effects makeup. I didn't want to be far away from home. So the options when I was younger, if you did makeup, was like work at a department store counter. And I didn't want to work inside all day. I did not want to not see the time change. So like if you go into a mall, you don't see the sun. You don't know the time is passing. So I just wrote that off. And my first job was working in a hair salon. So I worked in a hair salon in high school, and that was wonderful / dangerous, because I got addicted to very nice highlights and expensive hair processes. And when it came time to graduate, my parents were encouraging me to go to college, like not to go to cosmetology school, which was a good thing. So I did, I'll condense the story as much as possible. Graduated with an English degree, so degree in English literature, because the advice I got in college was study what you love, and other than makeup, I love reading and writing. And I went through like what I would lightly but seriously call like a dark night of the soul in college, and there was a lot of self-doubt and wandering, and the more that I tried to like quote-unquote find myself, the more lost I got, because I had walked away from my faith, and was, you can go down a real just a real dark path when you think you're finding fulfillment, but you're looking in the wrong places. So,
such a good word.
So while I was in college, I was waitressing, and I graduated with an English degree, but no teaching certificate and no job offers. And there's a joke, like, what do you call someone with an English degree and no teaching certificate? A waitress. And that's what I was doing. So I was waiting tables and I had met Patrick, who I'm now married to, and he was just like, you have to do something. He's like, you're smart, you have a college degree, you have to do something. So that was like a first turning point, was him just being like, you have to believe in yourself as much as other people believe in you, just do something.
Right.
So
it was that, like, when you met him and stuff, was that during this kind of, we were talking about the darkness?
Okay. I was totally lost, and to this day I wonder, and it's just a God thing, because like there's no reason why our path should have crossed. He's 8 years older than I am. Like, he is from Ireland. He had lived in Australia and Switzerland and done all these things, and I was just like being a wild child in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And he asked me out, and then he came and saw this play that I was in, and we started mm-hmm. talking, and things moved very quickly after that, which was a good thing. Mm-hmm. But he encouraged me, and what I thought I would be good at, given the skills that I could identify about myself, was mm-hmm. event production, because mm-hmm. I'm high energy, I like to multitask, and yeah. so, and it sounded glamorous, and I was like, oh, events, like, yeah who doesn't want to do events, that's fine. So mm-hmm. I did that for a couple years, long enough to realize, yes, I had the skills that job required, I did not have the passion to do well in that mm-hmm. job, and I think mm-hmm. when you get to be, you know, when you have enough distance past something, so like when you get 5 or 10 years past something, you can see that when you, what you hope for in your life is to find where your passion and your skills and what you can make money at intersect. Yeah. So if it's just what you can make money at and what you are skilled at, you might still feel dead inside. And if it's what you're passionate about and what you're good at, but you can't make money at it, then that's like a hobby. But
that's such a good word.
So event production mm-hmm. was, I learned so much in terms of just how things come together. Mm. I also, I learned from some good people in different companies and mm-hmm. also learned what not to do from two bosses. And so it was like, all right, this is just informative on many levels.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the company that I was with downsized and I was back to waiting tables. And I was, again, faced with like, well, okay, I don't even love this enough to look for another job in this industry.
Yeah.
What am I doing?
Yeah.
And that's when Tre Kroner Restaurant, the Swedish restaurant where you and I used to work, was filmed for a TV show, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yeah.
And because of my production background, I could, like, I was anticipating what the crew needed while they were filming.
Mm-hmm.
And after the couple days of filming, the producer asked if I wanted to interview with them and work for this TV show.
Part.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So at the same time, like this was, I got laid off right before Christmas, worked another awesome Christmas at the restaurant. Like on the one hand, I really liked it because I love the Lucia traditions and stuff. But then the next 6 months, I was just kind of job searching. And all I could think of was like, well, if I really could do something I liked, it would be makeup. But that's not realistic.
Yeah.
So they asked me to interview for the TV show. And their offices are based in the Twin Cities. And I had also been asked by Benefit Cosmetics, like if at the store that I went to as a client, if I would want to work for them. And so I interviewed, but was honest, like I love makeup, but I'm not, I mean, I just am self-taught. And so if we went up to the Twin Cities, had a great weekend with the crew from the, they took us to all the different restaurants in the Twin Cities that had been filmed. I met up with North Parkers because North Park University has a strong Twin Cities connection. So had a beautiful weekend up there. And when we came home, Benefit also said they wanted to hire me. So it was like, I'm looking at these two opportunities.
Yeah.
I would have had to move to Minneapolis and have an apartment there, even though I would have been on the road like 48 weeks out of the year, because they just travel all over the country.
Yeah.
And Patrick was working in Chicago, and it was, I thought, man, if I had had this opportunity a couple years ago, I would in a heartbeat go, like, this would be so cool.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't, it wasn't going to be the right fit for us. So I thought, okay, I'll work for Benefit. And so I took that fork in the road, and and like so many things, a dream come true can be a dream come true for a while, and then you see the other side of it. Like, it was still a job. It was still hard. I still had to work with some people who were great and some people who were not great. And I would cry in the morning, once again, like before I had to go to work. But I worked in a busy makeup store, and I got to meet so many women.
Yeah.
And that was such good training to become a bridal artist later on, because if 15 different people sat in my chair on a Saturday, I got to see, okay, well, how do you cover this kind of under eye circles? Or what do you do with this type of skin? And how do you color match, which you can't learn from a book? You just have to learn like how to match someone's skin tone by doing it. So that was awesome training, but that's kind of the roundabout way. And then when I got offered a promotion and to take over my own store, I was really hesitant. I didn't think that I could do it. And so like the final turning point in that phase was going out to lunch with my mom and my childhood best friend and her mom, who's like no nonsense. And I told them I'd been offered this job, and my mom was being, you know, kind of reserved and just like, oh, you should look at all the options. And my friend's mom was like, Trisha, do it.
Take it.
Just do it. Just try it. She's like, if you don't like it, you'll make your next choice, but like, just do it. And so thank you, Nancy, because she just looked at me and was like, just do it. And it wound up being wonderful. And that store did really well because of basic things that I still use in my business now. Like, take good care of people. Listen to them. Like, listen to your clients. Listen to your employees. Yeah. Have things clean. Like, you know? Like, simple things. So, those I think are the major turning points in steering me to doing makeup full-time. And then when my son was born and I realized I couldn't... And, well, I was choosing not to try and juggle a full-time job outside of the home.
Yeah.
I thought, let me see if I can focus on weddings, and that's like the next chapter, so we can go more into that. But
Yeah, absolutely. There's a couple things you said that I was, I think just could be good encouragement for listeners of like, maybe you're, okay, it's like, this is the dream, right? Like, I would love to be doing makeup or whatever it is, whatever your passion is. But, and I love what you said where, you know, you can make money, your passion, and you're good at all intersects. Because I think so many times we're just like, well, what is my purpose in life or what do I want to do? Yeah. And I think there along the way, it's like, okay, this isn't my dream job of working here or doing this, whatever, but I learned these amazing skills to be able to get me to that place.
Right.
And so, and of course, it's always so much easier, right, when you're at the, your dream and looking back and doing that. But I guess I just want to encourage, if you're in a certain place and you're working towards what you hope to be your passion and making money on it, then it's an opportunity for you to just say, hey, this is the training part of it.
Yeah. And learn, what can you learn in the whatever moment? Whatever chapter of your life you're in, be learning what you can and don't stop. I mean, I have a library of makeup books now because for years when I wasn't technically in makeup, I would buy the books, and Pat every year for Christmas would buy me the latest Bobbi Brown makeup book or whatever. And so I was always mindful and taking information in about what I loved and what I was passionate about. But then, and the jobs that I, you know, was in non-makeup related, just trying to absorb. And I don't even know that you'll know that it will be useful, do your best at what you're doing. And because contacts that I made in those other chapters of my life, you know, threads weave through your life and you won't know until it's happening. Right. That, oh, well, that first interaction was 10 years ago. And now, you know, a former colleague's daughter is getting married. So they remembered that I was nice at that job, even though I was miserable, but like I was nice to them. So now their daughter's calling me. So be nice.
Yeah.
Keep things clean. Like, learn what you can. These are my lessons for life.
True.
So,
That's so true though. It's kind of like, all right, what are your, some of your basic values and foundations? And then how can you do it no matter what you're doing?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. So good. Okay. Round two. And then we'll get into a little bit more of what the taking the plunge and all those things.
Okay.
So round two, if you knew me, then you'd know.
That I am married to an Irish husband, and yes, he has an accent, because that's always the follow-up question. So he is the only one of his family that's here, so that means we get to have siblings come and visit and take our son over there, and I just get spoiled by like having... There's blessings and struggles with having family overseas. So when we go, it's very special and wonderful, but then we don't get to celebrate all the milestones together. Yeah. And technology helps a little bit now, but where his parents are is still so rural that there's no broadband internet. So like, we can't Skype.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Oh my word. And you guys were talking about 150 acres and I was just like, oh, it's just like on the outskirts of town or something.
No, it's rural. So, but I'm great. His family is wonderful. And funnily enough, the first time I ever went into a benefit boutique was with his sister, who she was in town. Pat and I had not been together very long, and she came in for a visit, I think, to scout me out, like to see who is this American that Patrick's with.
Yeah.
And when I was at work at this office job, he took her out to brunch, and they when I got home that night, she goes, I found a benefit boutique. Do you want to go? And I was like, there's a whole store? I totally forgot about this part of the story. So that was thanks to Sinead that we went in, and I just started chatting with those girls. And that's 13 years ago now.
Oh my goodness.
So talk about a thread that you draw.
Right?
Like,
yeah. Absolutely. Well, and that Patrick was like, hey, you're so talented. Yeah. And like, you need to do something
and
about
you need this. To pay off your student loans that you got for this degree that you're not using.
Oh yeah, that too, that too.
Get a job. Yeah. Get a job.
Yeah. And I mean, isn't it just amazing how different people can speak into our lives, or just that one little thing of like, hey, do you know that there's benefit boutique right mm-hmm. down here? And yeah. And making those connections and networking.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. That's mm-hmm. so good. So good. Okay. So you made that plunge of just saying, hey, this is my passion. I mm-hmm. want to be able to do it. Was it just the networking that you had made with other people that just started? I mean, you have a wedding a weekend. How is that possible?
Well, a girl that I met while I was doing event production, because she was a recent college grad mm-hmm. and a family friend said, you know, here's a recent college grad. She thinks she wants to get into events. You guys should talk. We met and had lunch, and I was supposed to tell her about what our event company did. And I brought my laptop and I showed her for like 5 minutes. And then I said something like, what mascara are you wearing? And she was like, yeah. Oh my gosh, it's this new one. And it turned out that really what we both wanted to talk about was makeup.
Yeah.
And we spent the whole lunch talking about makeup. And then she wound up going to a makeup school. Okay. And so our paths kind of diverged, but we stayed in touch. And the makeup industry, it's hard to overstate how much it's changed in the last 10 years. Because 10 years ago, there was really only one or two people in Chicago that would go on location and do wedding makeup. So it wasn't a thing. Like now I think we take it for granted that a makeup artist will come to your house or your hotel and do these, like bring the salon to you.
Yeah.
But it didn't used to be a thing. And so that's my friend JC, and she went to makeup school, and then I started working at Benefit, and she started freelancing, meaning like she wasn't part of a union or anything, but she would do freelance gigs. And I tried to get Benefit to hire her, but at that point she was already booking weddings through word of mouth, people she'd gone to high school with and college with. Uh-huh. She had an art degree, like she did the same thing, like, well, go get a degree. And so when I was saying after Jack was born, like, I don't think I can work so many hours a week away from home. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
She was like, well, I've kind of started like putting together enough work. Like you could come and help me do a wedding. And so she just had me come with her. And I thought I could do this. Like I could go, like Jack could be home with Patrick on a Saturday and I can go do a wedding. So the first year I didn't have a wedding every weekend. I think if I look back on my spreadsheet, I maybe had like 5, and this is 7 years ago, and she asked me to do her wedding, and I thought that was another turning point. Like I got to be one of the artists at her wedding, and she helped me figure out, like, here's where you order mascara wands in bulk, because this was also before Amazon Prime. Yeah. I mean, there were all these like trade secrets, and so people will give you a leg up. And now the cool thing is we have this great network of girls. Like we have a group text of like 11 of us where if one of us has a big wedding, we can text and say, who's free this day? Who can come with me?
So great.
I'm in Lake Geneva. I need 2 hair people and 2 makeup people. And we pass work back and forth. And it's very collaborative. And we, each of us like do our own thing and run our business in the way that works for our lives. Mm-hmm. But if I can't take a day, I send, I refer a friend out, and we've kind of built this network over the last couple years. And so it's, it's referrals from friends who are booked and can't take the wedding. It's the biggest compliment is when like a bridesmaid comes back and says, you did my makeup for my friend's wedding 2 years ago. Now I'm getting married. Would you want to do it?
Absolutely.
So it just builds on itself. But then that's all the more reason to like, just be nice no matter what and be kind and pay attention to the bridesmaid even though she's not the bride that day because maybe she's getting married in 2 years. Yeah, or maybe it's like, I can't tell you how many times my mothers of the groom have never had their makeup done before and how many are moms of just boys. Yeah, so they didn't even have like a daughter to do makeup stuff with.
Right.
And they sit down and they're like, I've never had makeup done. But then they wind up booking me for a lesson or telling their best friend. And so you just like, I try to make people feel special no matter what because, number one, because I think you should. Like, I think it's part of being a good human. Mm-hmm. But it winds up paying dividends and referrals.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it.
That's so awesome. I love that. Because you do the weddings, but now you also do, like, classes and you do, like, you can book you for, say,
so I go teach private lessons. Like, I will go to someone's house and sit down with them and
say,
let's open your makeup drawer. And yeah. Everybody says, oh, I only have a couple things. And they show me their makeup bag. And we can go through and edit what they have, talk about what's working, what's not, what they should add that would be useful. And I'll have people tell me their budget beforehand because I'm mindful that someone might be, you know, able to splurge and spend a lot, and someone else might say, I really got to do this for under this dollar amount so I don't have to feel guilty about it.
Right.
And then I also have come up with formats to teach, like, hands-on workshops with, like, 4 to 8 women around a table, and we cover most requested topics, like smoky eye, daytime complexion, and then I can do, like, I call them look and learn like workshops where people aren't putting makeup on themselves, but they're watching me put makeup on a model. And that's better for larger groups where they can take notes and I have handouts and stuff, but they're just watching the transformation on a model and asking questions as we go along.
Because it's so smart.
For all the information that's out there right now, I feel like people don't know who to trust.
100%. Right.
And they want to know, like, oh, if I listen to what Trisha's saying, I will look good in person. I won't have to put 5 filters on a photo, you know? So I'm grateful that people put their trust in me. And I really like teaching classes and stuff like that, because it just is, I think it's giving people the information that they want and reminding me of why I got into makeup in the first place, which was to help people feel good and feel like the best version of themselves. And not, it's not about looking a certain way or that everybody has to, I don't want everybody to look the same way, you know, but I want it to be a tool that women can use, like other things like health and fitness and stuff, to go through their life as wholeheartedly as possible.
Right. I love that. Best version. That's so good.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. So if you, I mean, for someone that's listening or something like that, do you have like one tip that's like, this is some, and maybe it's hard to say like a broad, you know, spectrum of a tip, but like, hey, if you're going to focus on one thing, or if you're like, hey, I'd love to like try to figure out this or whatever, it's like, okay, this would be one of my
I have a couple, because I was just thinking about them this morning. SPF, like sunscreen, especially when you're young, because I can't tell you how many friends of mine are now like, I'm in my mid-30s and why did I not wear sunscreen when I was in my 20s? So SPF, appropriate exfoliation, if anyone still has that apricot scrub anywhere in their house, use it on your feet. Don't put it on your face. It is too rough for your face. And then don't underestimate the power of a great under eye concealer and blush.
I love it.
Those would be my nutshell tips.
So what's a good exfoliator for those of us that do still have the
there's a great one that you can use a physical exfoliant, which is what we think of when we think of like scrubbing grains or something. So there's one by Dermalogica called Microfoliant, and it comes out as like a gray powder, because I believe it's actually, I should know this, but I think it's rice, very finely milled rice, and you mix it with water in your hand and apply it on your face, but it doesn't hurt. Like if something you're putting on your face hurts, that's not a good thing. That's physical exfoliation. And then there's chemical exfoliation, which is using acids like glycolic acid or alpha hydroxy acid. And my all-time favorite is the Dr. Dennis Gross alpha beta peel, and it comes in a 2-part pouch, and you like open up a little pad and wipe it all over your face. Part 1 is the exfoliant, and then part 2 is the neutralizer. So they're fantastic.
That's awesome.
I think that's why I like feel like I somewhat slowed down the aging process that
really
scared me about 2 years ago when I went, oh my gosh, I was not ready for the forehead lines. So yeah. Those are good ones.
Oh my goodness. All right, I took a note to like get that name from you. I'll put it in the show notes.
On your Christmas list or wish list. Totally.
Well, it's one of those things that's like, okay, this is, you know, an investment, or it's going to be somewhat of an amount of money, but if you can take it from an expert to just be like, this is something that really
that
works.
That actually works.
Like, I'll take the leap on it.
You can save money. And I just said this morning on Instagram, if you pick and choose where you spend your dollars, so spend more on good skincare, because there's a lot of great drugstore makeup options right now, but get the skincare, because that's going to give you the best before and after cumulatively.
That's so good. That's so good. And you also are doing, I know you have a partnership with a clothing line. I'm going to say it wrong, so I'm not even going to say it.
Ever Eve. Yes.
So you're doing that, and you're also doing speaking.
Yes.
So can you talk a little bit about those two things?
Sure. So The speaking came organically. Again, one of those threads that popped up. I had joined a mom's group after Jack was born, and we were scheduled to have different speakers one day in a workshop situation, and one of the women who was going to talk about something in the beauty space threw her back out. And so they called me the night before, and they said, could you like come and talk about makeup? And I thought, yep, I can. So I brought a box of makeup, and I just, it's what I now call my 5-minute face, but it was pretty much just showing young moms, if you only have 5 minutes in the morning, what are products that you can use that give you the biggest before and after so that you can carry on with your day and give, I mean, we give of ourselves a lot as women and especially young moms. And so it's not just about like looking like you've gotten more than 4 hours of sleep. It's about signaling to yourself, I'm worth spending this time on. And then you carry yourself differently through the day, and you model that for your kids that, you know, that they are individuals worthy of taking care of themselves. And so I just did that. And
that's
then
such a good word. I love that.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it resonates because it's true. And, and self-care in the right way is not selfish if it helps you, you know, live wholeheartedly. So I did that, and someone heard me that day because we did like 3 rounds of it. So I did the presentation 3 times and someone said, she's now a friend, her name is Liz. And she said, you know, do you do public speaking? And I thought, well, I mean, I talk a lot and I'm public, but I have not actually done it. And they paid me that day in a Starbucks gift card. Like, I wasn't a paid speaker, and I was perfectly fine to be compensated that way. But that kind of set me off on a path of, oh, well, if I have information that people want, I'd be happy to share this. So I started off thinking I would just like go do makeup talks, but then I wound up putting together a talk that I now call Jesus and Dry Shampoo, and I give it at different moms groups in the area. And I say that it's like a framework to help women enjoy their daily lives as a mom. And it's a combination of spiritual practices and practical tips. And up until a couple years ago, I wouldn't even have known what a spiritual practice was. But it's as simple as like, one thing is word before world, which is spending time in the Word of God before you face the world. So, I mean, I live so much of my life on social media, but before I sign on to Instagram or Facebook or anything, I spend time in the Word of God each day. And and that's like something, it sounds funny to say that now, because even before Jack was born, I didn't do that. Like, I had done Bible studies very half-heartedly, but I hadn't tried to memorize scripture or anything like that. And again, now being years down the road, I can see what a profound difference it's made in who I am in my life. But it was small steps to start. And so so that's an example of a spiritual practice. And there's a couple I go through in the talk combined with practical tips, like how to properly use dry shampoo, because a lot of people don't use it to its best, you know, usage. And so I'm able to do that. And then I'm working on new talks. But that's also something that's spread by word of mouth, and just friends have said, oh, I heard her talk here, you should go do this. And so that's been really cool to just meet with. And now I'm not like a mom of a baby anymore, but I will never forget what that transition was like. And it was the most, I mean, I tell people now, like, it's the most wonderful thing and the hardest. And you just can't overstate either part of it. And I wouldn't trade it, but it's, you can't predict what it will be like for you. And you can't tell someone else what to expect. But you can walk through them. And I, you know, what I share in Jesus and Dry Shampoo is what I wish like someone had really sat me down and said, like, when you wake up in the middle of the night before you go get your baby, go to the bathroom first. You can't go to the bathroom, or I mean, you can, I did, but it was not easy, like holding a newborn who's crying. So take care of yourself and then go feed your baby and put him back to sleep. So that's the speaking thing. And I'm a part of a wonderful like mastermind of fellow speakers in the Chicagoland area. So we meet monthly and we share what we're doing, what we're working on, new talks we're writing, how we're staying like motivated, or how we're cultivating the life that lets us have stuff to speak about. You know, so we're actually, and it's, in some ways it's an, it's a motivational group. We, you know, we help each other with like actual aspects of business, like how are you reaching out to groups or what are you doing for your website? But then it's also accountability. Like,
if you're going to get together every 30 days.
Like, what, did not just like did you hit the goals that you wanted, that you talked about at the last meeting? But like,
yeah.
if you're going and giving a talk on marriage, like, how's your marriage going? Yeah. Are you honoring your husband and your kids if you're going to go and tell other people how to do that? So,
yeah.
and that was through this friend, Liz Lassa. So that's been a really big blessing. So that's the speaking. Go ahead.
Can I just pause for a second?
Yeah.
I think it's so fascinating as you're telling your story, how many different people have spoken into your life and how many people have pursued you.
It's astounding.
I mean, it really is incredible. And I think there's such beauty in that of saying, like, what does it look like to, for yourself and for listeners to say, if you see something in someone else, a yes. passion in someone else, like, how huge is it to take the time to either encourage or to just help someone take that first step, or being like, hey, what
just
would it look like to
ask a question?
Right. You know? Right. Absolutely. Encouragement, or, you know, hey, come and do this wedding with me, or hey, come and do this mastermind class. Things
yeah.
like that. Like, the power of an invitation, I think, is so huge. And
yes.
so, to celebrate, like, when people are able to do that for yourself, and then how do we then do it for other people?
Yes.
Huge.
Yeah. And I'm now, because I can see how many people, like you said, spoke into my life or just offered the time that they had or the resources. I mean, my friend Ruth, who, you know, made me join this mom's group, because I really was telling her I didn't need to go. She made me join it, and thank God. And then when I was ready to start doing the Jesus and Dry Shampoo talk, she let me have people over to her house and practice it, because I said,
that's awesome.
I need to practice using a PowerPoint and talking. And so we hooked it up to her TV. And so, you know, now I'm at the point where I can look and see, like, well, who then can I speak life into, and who can I help? And so if that means, like, letting someone come and watch me do a makeup application or help them figure something out, because I would not be here if it wasn't for those people that at critical points just said, have you thought about this, or do you need help with this, or do you realize that you do this, you know? So that, thank you for pausing and recognizing that.
Yeah, I love that. So good. Okay, then the partnership with...
So Evereve is this amazing women's clothing company, and here's another example of threads being woven together. Evereve was started by North Park University graduates.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So Megan and Mike Tamte went to North Park, Megan now has a podcast that is wonderful, but the long and short of it is that she got a teaching degree. She always loved fashion.
Yeah.
She was a stay-at-home mom, and she had a miserable experience shopping at the mall. And she had a vision that day with her newborn baby of life could be different, or that shopping for women could be different.
Yeah.
And let that, she planted that seed and just had different people speak into her life, and they opened a boutique in, I think the first one was in Edina, Minnesota, which is outside the Twin Cities.
Yep.
And it was called Hot Mama. And I heard about it because eventually they had a location in Evanston. And someone that I knew from North Park University worked at this store in Evanston. And I thought it was cute maternity clothes.
Yeah.
Hot Mama.
Great.
So I didn't used to have money to spend on clothes. And I thought, well, someday when I'm pregnant and when I have money, like, I will go shop at Hot Mama. So I was working at Benefit Cosmetics on Southport. Hot Mama had rebranded as Evereve. They opened a location on Southport.
Yeah.
And I went in. I had money. I'd been working for Benefit for a couple years. And I was like, I'm going to get cute pregnancy clothes. And they were like, we don't sell maternity. We're for, it was like Hot Mama meant that you were like a young hot mom.
Yeah.
And so I thought, son of a gun. Well, now I'm pregnant. Like, I guess I'll go to Old Navy. But so it didn't happen then. But a couple years went by. We moved to the suburbs. I started working in bridal. And a childhood friend said, hey, do you want to meet me at the mall? We should go to Evereve. And so I went into Evereve now as a not pregnant person. And they were so welcoming and fun. It reminded me of my first time going to Benefit, where it was like they were asking questions that they wanted to know the answers to. And they, I mean, it's a store. They want you to buy stuff. But no one was making you feel bad. And so I thought, oh, this is a really fun place to shop. And so So I knew that the woman and the husband and wife who started it were North Park graduates, and I got asked to do makeup for the now first female president of North Park University, because her administrative assistant and I were at North Park at the same time. So I got to go to her home and do her makeup, and on her wall is a photo collage of notable female North Park graduates.
Oh, wow.
And one of them was Megan Tamte.
Oh,
so yes. And this is another, it's a good lesson in, if you think something there's a chance something might make someone else feel good, even if it makes you look like a dork, do it. Because as long as it's not like disrespectful or something. Yeah. And so I took a picture and I messaged it to Megan Tamte on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I just said, I feel like I'm in very good company of, you know, North Park graduates. Mm. Today I'm at, you know, President Mary Surge's house. Yeah. And I thought, she's either not going to see it because people message her stuff all the time, yep, or she'll see it and think, who's this weirdo messaging me? Or she'll see it and just be flattered, you know, that she's there.
Yeah.
But I didn't expect to hear back from her. And so she wrote me back and she was like, thank you so much for letting me know that.
Huh.
And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm getting a message, you know, from the CEO of Every. So that was very exciting. And then a couple of weeks later, she asked for my email address.
Yeah.
I mean, this was just via Instagram message. She said, can I have your email address? And I thought, you can have whatever you want. Yeah. I'll send my child to work in your store if you want. You can have anything. And I gave her my email address, and she asked me to join her. She was going to be in Chicago speaking to a women's group. Mm-hmm. And she wanted me to come with her for that luncheon. And so I got to meet her in person. And she said that they were starting to work with what they were calling like local brand ambassadors. So they went from one little store in Minnesota to, I think they're up to 89 stores nationwide.
Yeah.
And they want people local to each store to just kind of share what it is that they do. Uh-huh. And it's easy for me to do because I love going there and I love their mission of helping women feel, once again, like the best version of themselves. So I get to go and try and close once a month and pick stuff out. And it's, that part is a dream come true. So, again, just another thread and, like, people offering and people asking I don't take credit for a lot of stuff. A lot of this is, like, God working in my life. But if you feel a nudge to do something, like, if I hadn't taken that picture and sent it to her, then they would have found other Chicago people. There's people with way more Instagram followers or, you know, who shop more than I do, but that, you know, I took a chance and God used it, so.
That's so awesome. I love it.
Yeah.
Take a chance. Take the chance.
Just do it. Take the picture. Send the message. Well, the other thing I talk about when I speak to women's groups, and one of the things I address in the talk is healthy social media.
Yeah.
And we've gotten away from using social media to be social.
Yeah. Oh, so my goodness, right?
It used to be a way to stay in touch with people.
Yeah.
And now it's like we just scroll. Mm. So I try like when you get on Instagram, send a message to someone that you haven't talked to in a while or comment on someone's picture. Like be social on it. If you're if you're just using it to compare whatever someone's new kitchen looks like or whatever someone's vacation was compared to your life, you're just going to come away feeling sad.
That's so
true. But if you use it to stay, like, look how you use it to stay in touch with people. And
Absolutely. I know. It can be such a great avenue for being able to encourage people and to make, you know,
be inspired.
And absolutely. I know it's so interesting. Just talking about like the threads and things like that, like they're, you know, doing makeup or officiating, things like that. It's like I have officiated weddings and things.
Yeah.
And so one of my friends was like, you should do this to be able to, you know, you're great at it, whatever. And he's like, just start making connections in different ways. And so reach out to all different people and stuff like that. And then someone had reached out to me and said, hey, I was at this service. I saw you do this thing. I'm a wedding planner in Chicago. I wondered if I could put you as an officiant.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, they sent the message. And you know, and it's like when you receive it, you feel like so honored. And maybe from the other side, I don't know how she felt, like if it was like, oh, I don't know, like when you sent the photo.
Yeah, well, there's always a risk that someone will either just ignore it or think it's silly. But the flip side of that is that they could be excited to hear from you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So take the risk. Take the risk and send the message.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good. Okay, round three. If you knew me, then you'd know.
Obviously, and you can already tell that I talk a lot.
You're on a podcast. That's okay. You're supposed to.
But I'm definitely talkative, and I am loud, and I have been told I'm bossy. I know someone I worked with at Trey Croner, actually, her father is the guy who wrote the birth order book.
Oh, yeah.
And she worked with me one day and looked at me and said, are you an oldest child? Yeah. And I didn't know who she was at the time, so I was like, how can you tell? Yeah. She goes, wow, you're really bossy. But and she meant it just in like, I can delegate and I can see what needs to be done. And that's that has served me well in having like a large group go with me to work a wedding. I can, or running a makeup store. I can look at what six different people are doing and keep people on track. And, and I will go talk to pretty much anyone, which is good because I, you know, when I go to do a wedding, I might know the bride or maybe her mom, but there might be seven people that I've never met before. And if I want them to sit in my chair and trust me and close their eyes and let me do what I need to do, like, I have to be able to talk to them. So,
absolutely.
So if you knew me, you'd know I'm a chatterbox, but it's put to good use.
Absolutely. And you're a fellow seven on the Enneagram.
An Enneagram seven, the enthusiast.
That's which we love talking to people. We love making new friends.
Yes. Yeah. I was thinking of this coming home from a wedding the other day. I think that most people, if I haven't met them, they're just friends I haven't met yet. Like,
that's so good. Oh my word, that's so good.
Which can be a good thing, but it's also like you shouldn't try to be friends with everyone. Yeah. Like, so that's been part of maturing is recognizing like not you don't have to be friends with everyone.
Right.
You have to be kind to everyone.
Yep.
And I teach this to my kid. Like, we have to be kind to everyone, we treat everyone with respect. But number one, not everyone will be a good fit, and there's only so many hours in a day.
That's
but
so true.
I could have a conversation with anybody.
Yeah, that's so true. I know Frederick will be like, I'll say like, you know, oh, my friend from Orange or my friend from Starbucks. Or that. And he's like, isn't really a friend.
Yes.
He's like, isn't that an acquaintance? I was like, oh, no, they are a friend. I could tell you a lot about their life. I could, you know what I mean? I'm like, I spend a lot of time with them.
Yes. Patrick does the same thing. And I, because I don't say like, oh, I'm like, oh, my friend. Yeah, exactly. Like my friend in California, my friend in Florida, like the friend I met here. And that's too funny. Yeah, I love that about you, too.
Thanks. We're good. We're good fellow sevens.
Yes.
Okay, to kind of wrap up our time together, one of the things I did on sabbatical and I'm bringing into the second season, too, is just you talked a little bit about self-care, kind of the body, mind, and spirit. How do you keep a balance? You are doing an amazing job. You're killing it on all these different things, speaking in this partnership with the clothing company and doing your makeup. But how do you be able to bring your best version of yourself by taking care of yourself?
Well, first of all, you're so, that's so kind of you to say it. And I think that it's easy to look in at someone else's life and feel like, oh, you're killing it on all fronts. You know, I'm glad that things are going well in a lot of areas. But like I said, when you got here, like nothing's ever all perfect. Mm. So, you know, I might do my hair and makeup every day, but there's a pile of laundry under the dining room table and my house is not really decorated because I just pick and choose what I spend my time on.
Yeah.
So I just want to acknowledge that like nothing's ever, you know, you're not ever killing it at everything and that's okay. Mm. That's real life. Mm. So I think what I have learned and what Patrick has been very instrumental in helping me recognize is that nobody gets to do it all. And so you have to figure out what gets your best and then prioritize from there. So I have seen that my life is fulfilling and wonderful when I keep God first and then my marriage and our family and then and funnel from there. So I notice a difference if I don't spend time being quiet in the morning, having time with God before I turn on electronics. And so that's, I think that's the main thing. And everything else comes from that because that gives me clarity to make all the other choices that you make on any given day.
Oh, well, thank you so much for sharing in your story today.
Thank you.
It's just been such a pleasure just to see how you're able to really live into the passions that God's laid on your heart and then being able to say, okay, how can I do this to change the world? And I think you're doing it just one person at a time as they come and they sit in their chair and you're able to listen and just bring beauty into the world through that. So
thank you.
Coffee cheers to you.
Coffee cheers, thank Melissa. You. Text to Mickey.
So much. Oh, much good. Throw a little Swedish in there. Thank you so much for your time and hosting me today.
You are so welcome.